Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Episode 349. Y'all, I'm finally watching Lincoln Lawyer. I didn't tell y'all this, right? Did I tell y'all this?
No, you did not tell us.
Okay. Well, sorry if I did.
But you didn't.
Okay. Well, I'm watching it now. And we're on the third episode. Not that. We're on the third season. It's good.
Yeah, it is good. Did you ever watch the movie?
No. Colby did, but I never did.
Okay. I think you would like this one better than the movie.
I'm not a huge Matthew McConaughey, not a huge fan.
That's why I said you'd probably like this one better.
Loved him in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it? I always get 10 Things I Hate About You. Too many tens. I get those two confused all the time. Loved him in that, like with the bullshit, mama. Like that, loved it. But, man, he's not my favorite.
Did you like him in the one with J-Lo?
No, their chemistry was not there.
No,
loved the movie, like Wedding Planner. Loved the movie, hated their chemistry.
I didn't love the movie.
And her chemistry with John Finch, is that his name? Made him up? Okay. Edward Finch, Ryan Finch.
Who the fuck
Fine.
Is-
Ralph Fiennes.
Oh my God, in Made in Manhattan?
Yes, yeah. Their chemistry was terrible. Great movie, loved it. Love her, love all of her cheesy movies. They had zero chemistry.
Right, well... I don't love her persona, I guess. Like, everything's coming out that she's a biatch.
True.
But I do love her movies. Really, Enough is my favorite. Selena.
You like, those are two of the best movies of all time.
Yeah. So, right before Made in Manhattan came out, Red Dragon came out.
Yeah.
And he was the evil guy in there. Spoiler alert. But that's all I could see him in. And I was like, he's fucking creepy.
Yeah. He does have a thing with his eyes that are very, like, are very intense. Like, he's always, like, staring, like, intently.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't, like...
Not intensely.
Yeah. He's just, yeah, no, I didn't like it. But I love the movie part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they literally had no chemistry.
Yeah, he could have been taken out and replaced with anyone. Just not Tom Cruise. Anyone but Tom Cruise.
Yeah, can't do that.
Oh, shit. But anyway.
For actresses and actors that are Scientologists, is that literally all you think about while they're on screen?
Yeah.
Same. I'm just like, they're a Scientologist.
We're just waiting on you to do the Scientology.
I'm not trying to have them fucking fair game us and the Scientology version of doxing us.
Right.
I mean, I got cameras, but I can't afford a damn security team.
Right. I don't know. Speaking of a security team. I no longer just have Birdie. I have a foster dog.
Oh, yeah. They don't know that.
Right. Her name's Gigi. She's a little Bernedoodle. And her and Birdie make sure that no squirrel comes in our yard. No stranger comes in the house. And I don't get any rest because she's a puppy and she has so much energy.
But she's not like a puppy, like in that she like she's potty trained and all of that.
Oh, yeah. She's just a year old. So I'm just used to... Marley, who was an old lady, Birdie, who has a soul of an old lady. I mean, she's 3 and a half, but it's fun because I get to see Birdie's playful side with her. And she is seriously the cutest dog. She's going to make someone so happy because she's a cuddle bug. And like, seriously, just when she looks at me, her eyes, I'm just like, oh my God, you're so cute. Also, she has a dew claw. Isn't that what that's called? Like when it's...
Like the under... Yeah. Like yeah. What do you mean? Does Birdie not?
I don't think so.
Don't all dogs have that?
Do they? I swear to God, Birdie doesn't.
I've never had a dog not have it.
But I was like, oh, there's her little thing. And of course, I had to play with it. I was like...
Yeah, because that's what Jax has got caught on my... I have one of those permanent... Well, I had two of those permanent bracelets. And Jax has got caught in one of them and like overstretched it. And I had to take it off, remember?
Yeah. No, I don't. I just figured that it messed up.
No, I you know that. You just forgot that.
I probably do. But I mean like that, I just figured it messed up. Your gems fell out and everything else.
Yeah, that's true. That's the one the gems fell out twice. I'm like, you know how much those motherfuckers cost?
Right.
That was an impulse buy because I was going for one and got two. Like, well, I always got to do more. Like, one was plenty. That still makes my stomach hurt thinking of how much money I wasted.
We are impulsive people.
So impulsive. Why are we this way?
I have no idea.
You got a foster dog. I got Maisie. And, like, we have to live with our consequences. I
know. She's seriously the sweetest
dog. That's how it Maisie is. She's so fucking sweet. It's such just, a cuddle bug.
Yeah. It's just two is... More than one. I'm going to be like, I can help transport and any adult dogs. No, but like seriously, it just came at a time where I'm overwhelmed at work. Like even Erica Z in our Facebook group said, she said that she listened to the last episode and she was like, you just seemed like you felt better and all of that. And she was like, you needed that vacation. And I was like, I did. But then I came back to chaos, just like stuff had changed at work, you know, like I then got a foster dog and like just everything. I feel just overwhelmed. And so it's not really the foster dog part of it. It's just me not being able to cope with all the new stuff. I haven't went to the gym since I got back. I've been eating right besides today because I had all the fried food at dinner. But I don't know. I just feel like I'm off of my routine and mm-hmm. I'm a routine person. But also, speaking of things to watch, I told Carrie to do this, but there's a show on Amazon Prime called Cross and it's by James Patterson. Well, it's like based off of his books. And my mom was a huge James Patterson fan and it's really good. It's like psychological, thriller, detective, all the things. When y'all feel overwhelmed, do y'all just get to where you pile more stuff on and you just make yourself more overwhelmed?
Yes, because I shut down and then that makes me procrastinate. And then, yeah.
Yeah, like I fixate on shit and then it's like, I have to do this then. Like, this is a straw that broke the camel's back. And I have to get this done right now.
Well, one thing that we don't have to be overwhelmed with this year is finding the best way to give back. Because look no further, this episode is sponsored by Cuddly. And what is Cuddly, you may ask? Well, it's a fundraising platform that supports animal welfare organizations all over the world.
I don't know about y'all's TikTok, but on my TikTok, I have a lot of animal videos come up and it'll have different stories and different things. And I never know if anything's true or how to give to it. But with Cuddly, over 4,000 shelters and rescues trust Cuddly to raise funds and receive donations of supplies for the animals in their care.
It's hard to know like who to trust, which organizations are legitimate and all of that. But Cuddly thoroughly vets and verifies every rescue organization they work with. So you can be certain, you can be confident, and you can be assured that what you're donating is actually going to an animal in need. And if you're like us, it can be super hard to choose just one animal to donate to, but Cuddly makes that easy too. When you make a one-time donation, Cuddly distributes the contributions to the animals and the organizations with the greatest need each month. I just really like that Cuddly vets everything. Because that's truly my biggest thing with donating to any type of cause. It's like, I want to make sure that whatever program that it's going to, that it's actually going to what I'm donating for, not padding the pockets of the organization. And it seems like Cuddly really does try to verify that the animals are the ones getting the funding. And right now, your dollar can go even further. For every $20 donated through a one-time donation, Cuddly will gift a soft and snuggly blanket to a rescue animal in need. So head to cuddly.com/creep today to make a donation to help make a difference.
It's basically like a Christmas gift for the animals. A soft and snuggly blanket, yes please. So go to cuddly.com/creep.
So don't forget, for every $20 donated through a one-time donation, Cuddly will gift a soft and snuggly blanket to a rescue animal in need. Head on over to cuddly.com/creep.
Also, I said, I'm not buying any new holiday decor, but then I got like, I don't know what is with me right now. For 2 months or so, I've just been overwhelmed with shit. I have no idea why, but I did go and do some retail therapy at Home Goods and Target, and I did get some Christmas stuff because I started thinking about it. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but last Christmas, I wasn't as joyful, like with the decor and everything. And I think I overcorrected when I got all my stuff, because when I grew up, my dad was into tinsel, snow, the colored lights, you know, no ornaments matched and all the things. And it was like, I don't know, I just attributed that to us like being poor, like us not having the money to have like a themed Christmas thing. And like, my aunt had all like had so many trees and every room had a different theme and all of that. And it's like, I'm going to be able to do that. And then when I got a job and I had enough money to, you know, well, did we have enough money to spend what we had?
No.
But we spent the money, got the stuff, and it's like all themed, you know, like the woodland creature kind of stuff. And I don't know. It was just like, I want to do something different. And maybe now that I'm talking about it, maybe it is because my dad passed and like that was like, I have no more parents. And like, it just came, like, I don't know. It just hit me this time and that I want to do the tinsel. I want to do all the things. Like, yeah, I'm not going to have colored lights, but because my tree's pre-lit.
Yeah.
But like, I want to do mismatched ornaments. I want to like collect things, because I remember when I think Tiffany gave me an ornament and it didn't go with my theme. And so I put it in the back at the top along with my mom's that doesn't go with the theme, but I got it in honor of my mom. But it was like, so like, it's got to look like what I thought I should be as an adult. And it's like,
fuck that. Yeah.
Like, that's not joyous. Like, I want to just like love my decor.
Yeah.
Like, I love the Halloween stuff. It gives me gives me happiness, all the things. And it's like, no, I'm going to do that. So I didn't go wild. I just like bought little things. So even in my head, though, I'm like, how does that all work out? How is that going to all tie in? It's like, doesn't have to.
Right.
If it makes me happy looking at it, it's fine.
I know my dad didn't, we didn't do the tinsel. We never did the tinsel, but we always did the colored lights. And I remember being like, I just want white lights on the Christmas tree. Like, I don't want the colored lights. Mm-hmm. And now I have colored lights on one of my tree, because y'all know I have three Christmas trees, but the Christmas tree that faces the road, it's all of it. Like, it fades in from white to colored, from white, you know. Now, my two pencil trees in the living room are white.
I thought you
white.
Said pickle trees.
My two pencil trees in the living room are white because they're pre-lit. Well, the other one's pre-lit that way. Anyway, but those are more themey. Like, I have one that's all like white and glass ornaments, and I have one that's not that, but it's still all mismatched. And like, I have an ornament that a patient had made me before. I have like, you know, stuff like that that goes on that tree. I have like all the meaningful ones, like my first house. I have an ornament for Beau on there, you know.
Yeah.
My dog that passed away, if you have no idea who Beau is. And, you know, stuff like that that goes on that tree.
Yeah. And that's what I want. And so I did buy two glass ornaments. So I'm going to have to put those at the top anyway. But I'm like, also, why are all the cute, like, weird ones glass? Like, we can't have, like, do people not have dogs? Like,
right.
Or cats. Like, cats are more prone to, like, pop those balls off, you know, but
you do on the weekends, but I mean, not right now.
Anything, okay? Pop my back out of place. I don't know how bending down, but it's leading me to this. For my Christmas presents, I want one ornament from y'all.
Okay.
Like, you know, that makes you think of me or all the things. Okay, behind the scenes, I laughed so hard that I cried because you know how my body is. So if I sound weird, that's why. It was like a whole fucking 10-minute ordeal.
I'm sure it's going to end up in the bloopers.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe not the whole thing because it legit was like 10 minutes, but I'm sure some of it will.
And if I'm heavy breathing, it's because I can't catch my breath right now.
And really what she laughed at wasn't that funny.
Oh my God. I don't even know what set me off.
It was when my ear itched and I jumped up to run to go get a Q-tip.
Oh God, yes.
And I jumped and ran like I was actually going to do something fast. And I ran like Quasimodo because my hips and my back hurt.
Also, she called it an ear cleaner. And that I couldn't think of the word. Okay, so on to my story. Picture it. Suffolk, England, 1957.
I think this is 2 weeks in a row you've gone across the pond.
I said I need a vacation.
You just came back.
I know. Life is lifing so hard.
Aren't you off in like a week again?
I am. I mean, apparently passed on it, knew I needed another vacation and already had taken it. Okay, so it was October and there were three British Royal Navy cadets who were on a map reading assignment. There was a bigger word for it.
Topography? I'm just kidding. I have no idea.
What'd you say?
Topography.
No. Would that be cartography?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But no, I can't remember what it was called now, but it was like mouseketeering, but not that. It was a different word, but something tearing. And I was like, huh, map reading assignment. But it's where they had to follow a map with directions, take notes, observe locations, and report their findings. Now, the three cadets were 15 years old, and they had just joined the British Royal Navy. Their names were William Lang, Michael Crowley, and Ray Baker. Now, none of them were from the area. They were all from different parts of England, but again, they had just joined, and so they did this so just to see like how good they could do in unfamiliar territory. And on that October day, it was ordinary. The boys were just trying to finish the exercise. They didn't even really see anything weird. You know, the day was like any other. The places they traveled were super ordinary. And they said they heard all the sounds. And again, they're writing all the things down, taking all the notes, you know, all the things. And they said they heard church bells ringing, heard birds singing songs, saw normal signs of life. Smoke bellowing out of chimneys because, you know, it's October. But then soon after they noted all this stuff, everything changed when they went into the village of Kersey. Now, this was on their to-do list. So when they reached it, they were just going to note the stuff they had been detailing. But then they realized that none of that was happening here. Everything was eerily silent. The church bells they heard, no longer sounding at all. No birds, no rustling of leaves, no wind, no anything. Everything was still.
Every time you said church bells, all I could think about was that Christmas song where it says the church bells are ringing.
Oh, yeah. But it's Silent Night?
No.
The church bells are ringing.
Yeah. It's like a Bon Jovi, not a Bon Jovi song. What's that other guy?
Meatloaf?
No. Oh, my God. No, Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. That song. That's all I could think about it. Speaking of Christmas music, Carrie's mom is already listening to Christmas music, and Carrie wants to. Are you listening to it in your car?
Uh-uh.
You were just doing that for Colby?
Yeah, it was just like a one-time, like, literally, he was in the gas station, and I was like, hee-hee-hee. Let me put this on and let's see how long it takes him to notice.
Yeah.
And we literally got to the other side of the parking lot and he goes, what the fuck is this?
I only love that when I'm like doing something Christmassy.
Yeah.
But okay, back to this October. And the boys described this moment as though they had walked back in time. They said that they were overwhelmed with sadness and depression, just emotions that they really didn't know how to manage, really. They said that they still needed to do their assignment, so they pressed forward. However, things still weren't adding up. It was in the 50s, so it wasn't like they were in medieval times, but it kind of made them feel like they were. There were no phone lines, no electricity, no cars, not even bicycles, and more weird, no people anywhere. And they also noted that the road wasn't a smooth paved road like the one that they had just been walking on was. It was cobblestone. It's like they were just on a road and now this. And the more they looked around, they noticed that the houses didn't look of this time either. They were all kind of like hand thatched roofs, timber frames. Like it just wasn't what houses of that day of the 50s looked like. They said that the windows seemed to be covered in grime. And they really thought, like, this is a fucking ghost town. A town long forgotten from another time period. The boys decided to look through the windows like a peeping Tom to see if they could see any source of life or anything. Well, the building they chose appeared to be a butcher shop. They recounted the site, and this is what they said. There were no tables or counters, just two or three whole oxen carcasses, which had been skinned and in places were quite green with age. There was a green painted door and windows with smallish glass panes, one at the front and one at the side, rather dirty looking. I remember as we three looked through the window in disbelief at the green and moldy green carcasses. The general feeling certainly was one of disbelief and unreality. Who would believe that in 1957 that the health authorities would allow such conditions? But more than anything, you know how I said it was October? Mm-hmm. So at that point, the leaves had changed, you know, like the air was all crispy, all the things. But where they were, it seemed like nothing had affected this place. The trees were green, like the flowers in full bloom, like in springtime. So it was just so weird to have went from autumn to spring and like no one's around. The boys kept venturing into town and they looked inside some houses, but there was really nothing there. No signs of life at all. It looked like all the residents had taken their stuff and got the heck out of Dodge. Like even though the chimneys had smoke before they entered town, like they saw the smoke bellowing, this town had nothing. Again, no sound, no signs of life, and definitely not anything of this time. The boys said they were utterly spooked and they just felt unsettled. Like what had they just walked into? Also, something that was puzzling was that the church tower that they had heard the bells from, or, you know, the bells had been ringing or whatever, Carrie said, it was nowhere to be seen. And this was a landmark that they were supposed to find and describe. Like, it was the place that you would go see, like, the Seattle Needle.
Yeah.
I can't think of what it is. But
yes.
Like that. You know, like, it is a landmark, and they cannot find it. And they're like, we literally heard the bells. What's going on? So they thought, okay, here's the thing. We'll go to the church tower and we will figure everything out. Kind of like recalibrate. But yet they still couldn't find it. Now remember, it was so tall that they could see it when they were walking up to the village. But now it's nowhere in sight. So the boys hurried from the village. And they ended up running a few hundred yards away from Kersey before they took a break to talk about what had just happened. When they reached the base again, they reported back to the higher-ups, and they were like, nah, your minds were just playing tricks on you. Like, you're 15, whatever. Like, they paid them no mind. And the boys just kind of nodded and agreed and like, okay, well, we're not going to backtalk y'all. You know, like, you say what you want to say, and we'll say, yes, sir. The eerie thing is that once they were out of the village, they heard all the sounds again. Saw life again. Everything was back to normal. And so that was just something that they couldn't shake. Like, okay, yeah, maybe our eyes were playing tricks on us, but like, why did it change right when we got out of that? Well, and that was that. Until about 30 years later, and William Lang and Michael Crowley were both living in Australia. And for some reason, you know, I feel like they were just like hanging out and got to talking about the good old days. And that incident came up again. And William said that he had never really stopped thinking about it. Like, it really stuck with him. But he didn't know if the others really paid any mind to it. So he didn't want to be the one to like always bring it up. But now it just was kind of brought up. And he's like, actually, that's been on my mind.
Now that you mention it.
Mm-hmm. Michael said that he remembered it, but not in as much detail as William did. But he did recall how there was a lack of modern utilities and that weird, you know, nasty, crusty, dusty meat in the butcher shop.
That is so bizarre.
Right? So William was like, yeah, that's weird, right? And he had read this book by a man named Andrew McKenzie, who was one of the prominent members of the Society of Cyclical Research.
And cyclical?
Okay, I always say that, and then you said I said it wrong.
No, I've never said cyclical ever in my life.
Well, I thought I said it wrong.
If you said cyclical...
Don't get me started again, girl.
Cyclical is correct. Cyclical is not.
Okay, I swear to God, I said cyclical, and you're like, what?
No.
If I knew, you know what? That would be my superpower if I could have one, just to be able to recall when Carrie said something that she said she didn't say. But all right. Okay, so the Society of Cyclical Research. And we know that usually deals with the unusual, paranormal, supernatural kind of shit. Okay, so now you're saying, oh.
No, I thought you meant just like in a cycle.
No.
Oh, then I don't know that answer then.
Oh my God.
Cyclical means like in a cycle, like it's like, you know?
Oh my God. Do you see what I'm talking about, y'all? No, never, never.
I like, don't know that word, though. What the thing that you just described, I don't know that word.
And I said cyclical, and I swear to God, other people said it's cyclical.
It may be in that sense,
like,
because I don't.
Psychical.
Spell it.
Psychical.
Oh. Okay, see, not the word I thought you were saying.
But
I thought
you
were saying.
You know what? She didn't care.
I didn't.
She thought she knew it.
I did.
This is our friendship. And this is why it would be my superpower, because I'd be like, on 275, you said.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
That you're wrong. No.
Ah! Damn you. Okay, how you just got me reminds me of Dakota at work. He always jokes with me because I'm like the second oldest, but in our little seedling group, I am the oldest. And so he'll always just fuck with me about it. Well, we had another guy on our Zoom, and I had said something, and I was like, I'm 39. Like, I'm just too old for that. And he said, I would have never thought you were 39. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. Well, Dakota got on, and I was like, by the way, he said he didn't think I was 39. He said, oh, he thought you were older? And I was like, you motherfucker.
Damn.
I can't get one over, you know?
Yeah. See, in my head, I thought he was going to say, because of how you act.
Oh, that too. That too. No, see, these were 15-year-old boys. I just act like them.
Right.
But okay, William wrote a letter to Andrew and was like, hey, this is some weird shit. We just started talking about it again. We both remember it. Like, I think you would be interested in this. And when Andrew read William's letter, his nipples got hard because he was like, oh, shit, this sounds just like a case of retrocognition, which is where you have the ability to perceive past events through basically how you taste static watermelon. These people can get like, you know, like past life shit. Like they go somewhere and they're like, whoa, I feel like I'm somewhere else because blah, 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 blah. Honestly, I feel like it's kind of like deja vu kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's more often than not referred to as a time slip. And Andrew believed that's what happened to the three boys when they visited Kersey. So they didn't see Kersey in present day of 1957, But instead, they had experienced a time slip into a time long ago. He said possibly centuries earlier.
I am.
Now, Andrew was really curious about this experience they had and really honed in on three things. The season seemingly changing when they walked through, the church, and the butcher shop. And thus began Andrew and William's correspondence about this whole experience. This lasted years, and the two of them started to dig deeper into the history of Kersey and everything just to see if they could pinpoint a time period of when they would have been there. Now, fast forward to 1990, and both of them went to Kersey, did a walkthrough of the town just to see, like, here's where this happened, blah, 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 and just to see what was different. Now, about the church, St. Mary's, that dates back to the 14th century, and it was, again, really tall and highly visible to anyone on the main street. But through Andrew's research, he learned that the construction of the tower was put on pause because of a little thing called the Black Death, which happened to wipe out over half of the population, which kind of coincides with everyone being gone and there's like no sign of life. Also, the meat thing, because if everyone just like died or got the heck out of Dodge, the meat was there decaying. Another thing that pinpoints these dates is that the boys mentioned the glazed windows. And Andrew said back in the day, very rare because it was so expensive to have glass windows. However, around that same time frame, Kersey was having a booming economy due to the wool trade. What did I say?
It's just how you said wool.
How do you say it?
You just said wool trade. I don't know. It was just funny.
Okay. Don't get me laughing again. So another thing is that the building the boys said looked like a butcher shop with the nasty meat. It was, in fact, a butcher shop from 1790 to 1905, but it was not a butcher shop when the boys saw it. So they're like, okay, how did they know it was a butcher shop since they're not from this place? But the people chose this place and a few other places because they knew they had never been there. They had, like, this would be a true test to them.
Right.
So it's not like they knew the history of this place and was like, oh, this used to be a butcher shop. We're going to say it was a butcher shop. Like, it was legit, like, wait, what the fuck? However, there are a lot of skeptics because they said Kersey is kind of known for a lot of medieval looking buildings. But again, they didn't know it because they weren't from around there, but it was normal. It's like the town that time forgot. Also, along those same lines, Kersey is protected by the Suffolk Preservation Society. And so when electricity was going to be ran, the lines were banned, so they had to do them underground. That's why they didn't see electricity lines and stuff. So that could, you know, be the account, or it could have been that they weren't there. However, with that eerie feeling and being so overwhelmed by everything, people say it was probably real, and it's something called derealization, which is where they get confused by what they saw and their minds start to play tricks. You know, they're like, wow, that's eerily silent. And then it really does become eerily silent. And, you know, you start like fixating on weird shit and, you know, like you get yourself kind of scared. So my question is, do you think they experienced a time slip? Or do you think they just didn't understand what they were looking at? Because again, a lot of the buildings had like those thatched roofs still. It was like really, it's called like the town of yesteryear kind of thing. But they didn't know that. Or do you think, you know, they really just did have that derealization?
I don't know. It's hard when you have two people saying the same thing.
Well, like, it's three.
True. Multiple, I guess I should say. Because it's like the odds of getting all of these people on the same page at the same time saying the same thing, pretty hard.
But in that same case, it's like if you said, what was that? Did you hear something? I'm like, I think I did. You know, like you start kind of not meaning to lie, but you like start really thinking that way.
Yeah.
But I will say something that resonated with me was like the quietness and like the change of season, because me and a former friend of ours, we went to this town called Rodney, and it was such a weird experience. And I will never forget, like, this is like an old, old town in Mississippi, and it's like not even real. It's on the map, but it's like a ghost town that people still live in, but like just barely. And you get through it from the back of Jackson State University. Like, you go through their campus to get to this. And when we were going in, it was daylight. When we went through the gates, like the entrance that they had to it, the trees got like more heavy. And then all of a sudden it was dark. It was night. And it was like, wait, what the fuck? Like, it was just daylight. That was weird. And then there was this old car on the side of the road. And this is all like dirt roads, because again, there's like no paved roads in Rodney. And there's only like two roads. But this car looked like it had been there for years. And it could have just been because it was a dirt road. And so like people passing it and their stuff. But it was just like, holy fuck, that's eerie. And then it was quiet. It wasn't like so quiet that you could hear a pin drop, but it was just a totally different feel. And like, I was on edge. She was on edge. And I remember I rolled down my window just because I wanted to be able to see something more. And she's like, can you roll the window up? This is fucking freaky. Like, I feel like Leatherface is going to come after us. Like, we need to get out of here. It's a fucking like night now, but it was day a minute ago. Like, let's go. Because also cell service doesn't work there and stuff. You know what I mean? So it was just like, if we got lost, like,
who would know?
Yeah, who would know? You know? And so, I don't know. This just reminded me of that. And it's like, I have felt that. So I know like that something's not right here. And this doesn't feel like of this world. Like, it feels something different. But again, it could have just been because it was an old place, and it was like kind of through the woods to grandma's house that you had to go to get to it. And then it only had like 11 residents that might still live there.
Right. I don't know. I'm a little more apt to believe someone if it's like a group of people whose story doesn't change, because a group of people can settle on a story easily. But the fact that it didn't change ever, to me, makes it a little more believable, because there's always going to be somebody that's going to crack. Like, there's always going to be the one that screws the story up for everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. So if you have 2, 3, 4 people that are saying the same shit every single time, I'm a little more apt to believe.
Yeah.
At the very least, something weird happened to them.
Right. But like, the butcher shop is weird too.
Yeah, that is very weird. But they also may not have realized what they saw an oxen. Is that what you said? Like, how the fuck did they know that's what that was?
Fuck if I know.
I mean, you know, like, that could have been.
Well, but like, Colby would know that. He would.
An oxen, though? I don't know.
Maybe not an oxen, but he, like, something, if it was a deer, he would definitely know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. Like,
but like,
that
over
was
there.
True.
That could have been something more.
True. Common.
Yeah.
Touché.
Also, though, like, it just reminds me of when you're on autopilot, when you're driving and you're like, wait, how did I get here? Like, when you're just like in your thoughts, especially if you're sad or something, and you're just like, holy fuck, did I drive here? Like, how did I get home? Because I don't remember any of that drive.
Okay, so my story this week was a recommendation from Susan L. in the email. Okay, so this story is about the Conley brothers. You have Andrew, who was 17, and Connor, who was 10. They lived with their mom and stepdad. I actually don't know if that was Connor's stepdad or just Andrew's or both. Anyway, but that's who they lived with. And their parents both worked the overnight shift at a casino. So Andrew was responsible for babysitting Connor. And I'm going to be honest, this isn't that long of a story, because there's not a lot of like the beginning stuff like we usually have, like, this is the family and this is the dynamic and yada, yada, yada. It's not like the shortest story I've ever done, but it's not going to be like, okay, buckle in. It's a long one, you know, but picture it. November 28th, 2009.
Oh, shit.
So, like, just around the river bend.
Yeah.
So, Andrew was babysitting Connor, and he didn't want to. His parents were working overnight. It was a Saturday. He wanted to hang out with his friends, and his mom was like, cool, if you want to hang out with your friends, you got to find a babysitter for Connor.
Now, how old were they, did you say?
Yeah, 17 and 10.
Okay, sorry.
By the by, this all happened in Indiana. So Andrew drove Connor to the grandma's house to see if she could watch him, but she wasn't home. So then he goes to an uncle's house, and he's like, nah, sorry about you. Can't watch him. So he was like, fuck. Well, just take him home. So they go back to the house, and they're hanging out. Well, at some point, they start roughhousing how brothers do, and they're wrestling.
Much like Birdie and Gigi wrestle all the time now?
Not quite like this.
Oh, okay.
So Andrew gets behind Connor and puts him in a chokehold. Like
a legit chokehold.
Yes. Like a headlock thing with his arm.
Yeah.
Connor is like fighting, trying to get away from him and like telling him to stop, but he doesn't. And Connor passes out. He starts bleeding from his nose and his mouth, but he's alive. But instead of calling for help or anything like that, seeing what happens even, Andrew drags Connor into the kitchen, gets a pair of gloves out, and starts choking Connor.
What? Were they really fighting? Or do you think he legit just did this?
I think he just did this.
Okay.
Andrew chokes Connor for 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
And then gets a plastic bag from the drawer and puts it over Connor's head.
He's 10?
Mm-hmm. What? Connor, the victim, is 10. Yes. His 17-year-old brother is attacking him.
Oh, my gosh.
Andrew uses black electrical tape to, like, tie the bag around Connor's head. And Connor's last words were, Andrew, stop.
No.
So to just make matters worse, Andrew then drags Connor's body down the steps into the basement. I just picture him like literally, I mean, this is graphic, but like bouncing his poor little body like on every single step. And that just breaks my heart. I don't know. That was just the visual in this that truly broke my heart.
Well, because, you know, if he's doing this, he doesn't care about
it's. Yes.
Like, that's not his brother anymore to him. That's just something that he has to get rid of.
So he dragged him down the steps to the basement. Once Andrew gets Connor outside, he bangs his head on the concrete multiple times just to make sure that he was dead.
What the fuck? Like, how? How could you do that?
This whole story is literally, that's all you can say is, how can you do that?
Yes.
So Andrew puts him in the trunk of the car. He goes back inside, puts on new clothes, cleans himself up, puts all of his bloody clothes in a closet, and hides the gloves, like the bloody gloves, in a chair.
In a chair?
Yeah, that was weird to me, but he's also a dumbass 17-year-old.
But like, how do you, oh. You
like under a cushion?
Oh my God. I was picturing like a dining chair.
Oh, well, like, no. See, there's multiple types.
I'm so sorry. But like, I was like, just like, some, how did he do that?
Yeah, see, some rock, some recline, some have cushions. So this is another one of those parts that's like, literally, how the fuck did he do this and why? So Connor's literally in the trunk of Andrew's car, and Andrew goes to his girlfriend's house.
What?
And they just like hang out, have a grand old time. Like, literally later, his girlfriend says that he was happier than she had ever seen him.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm sorry. No, that's not what she said. She said happier than she had seen him in a long time.
Oh, my God. Like, that's so creepy.
He gave her a promise ring, because I think that's like what all this was about, personally, is that he wanted to go to his girlfriend's house, and he couldn't because he had to watch his brother, and he was pissed. But he gave the girlfriend a promise ring, and they watched a movie. Guess what they watched?
Casper.
The Green Mile. I'm like,
you watched that
movie after you just literally minutes ago murdered your little brother, and you can sit there and fucking watch The Green Mile?
he killed them with their love. Like, I would have just, like, unraveled.
Yeah.
Also, like, he could have just left his brother by himself. Like, not that he should have, but, like.
But you could have left him at the house. Your parents were at work. You could have just left him there, not in the fucking car. Well, but I think it's because he had a plan. After he left his girlfriend's house, that's when he went to this kind of.
Wait, no, I mean.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know why you went there. I was like, wait, no, no.
You're saying he could just left him by himself.
Yeah, yes. Not.
Well, I'm an idiot.
Not killed his brother.
Yeah. Well, that's not what I thought you were saying.
You're like, yeah, in the car. Gosh. I mean, before that.
Yeah. To avoid this whole thing. Yes. Let's do Donna's version. So, but after he leaves the girlfriend's house, he does go to this like wooded area behind the middle school, which I'm pretty positive is the middle school that his brother went to.
Oh my gosh.
And he got Connor's body out of the car, dragged it into the woods, and covered it with some just like sticks and brush and stuff like that. Not even like a serious cover up, like literally just put some things on there and left.
It's like he couldn't be bothered.
So then he goes home on the 29th. And when he gets there, nobody's there. So he, because, you know, they're working the fucking night shift. So he has time to, like, clean up the blood in the house. And when his stepdad gets home at 2:30 a.m., he's none the wiser. Because he thinks that
Connor's asleep.
Connor's at the grandmother's house.
Oh, shit.
Yes, that's where he thinks it is. Because he's like, where's Connor? At grandma's. So Andrew's acting completely normal, asks his stepdad for some condoms. Like, it's just like a normal, weird. Well, not weird. I mean, it's good that they can talk to their parents like that. I mean, he did kill his brother and fuck him. But, like, it is good that a kid could feel comfortable going to their parents like that.
But it's just like, you just killed your brother. That? Yeah.
His mom gets home around 5:45. And he and his mom chill. They watched a movie together. They, like, laughed, had fun, ate popcorn, watched a movie. His mom asked him, like, where's Connor? But again, he says at grandma's.
I know that people have to wind down after work, but holy fuck, I would have been out at that movie.
Yes.
I'd be like, oh, you want to watch?
It's different, like, working the night shift like that. I come home from work now, I eat dinner, I hang out for a couple hours, I go to bed. If I was working the night shift, ain't no way, ain't no how.
Like, people would think I'm a vampire.
Yes. Colby used to do that when he would work the night shift. He would, like, come home, eat, take a shower, wash some clothes, and then he would, like, fall asleep while his clothes were washing, you know? And then you'd have to be, like, call him, like, wake up, put your clothes in the dryer, go to bed, you know?
Yeah.
Now, there were two times, like, after his mom and stepdad went to bed, and some of it made it sound like this happened maybe before the mom got home. Because one thing I saw said that the mom slept on the couch and the stepdad was in the bedroom. Like, it's just how they fell asleep. Not like, oh, they're sleeping. Yeah. Instead of, you know, it's just how she fell asleep. But
yeah, she did the Donna. She fell asleep during the movie.
Yes. Well, Andrew went up to where the dad was sleeping and stood over him twice with a knife, like trying to decide whether or not to kill him.
What?
And apparently, like, once the stepdad woke up and was like, this is weird, but he, like, hid the knife. And so it was just like, what the fuck are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
Well, later that day, because this is Sunday, when everybody's kind of waking up, they, like, watch football together. Like, they think that Connor's at the fucking grandma's. Like, this is no big deal. Like, okay, hanging out, watching Sunday football.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, one thing I saw said that at this point, the mom asked him to go get his brother. But then some stuff was like, he just left home and went to the park where the brother was, but didn't, like, go to his body, just went over there.
Ugh.
But then ended up going and meeting up with two friends and told them that he killed his brother.
Why are people like that? Like, I mean, I'm glad so they could tell someone and then these people are like, oh, cool, and run to the cops.
Yeah.
But, like, I would just never be like, dude, we're hanging out here, but guess what? My brother is too. And, like, do that. Oh, my God.
Well, after he hung out with his friends, Connor left them and went to the police department. And
Wait, what?
Yeah, he turned himself in and said he accidentally killed his brother And then he was like, well, I believe that, like, I killed my brother.
What?
Yeah. So the police contact the parents and, like, so they come down there and they're like, what? Like, the mom is, like, losing her mind because she is like, are you fucking, like, what are you talking about? What just happened? Now, there's a podcast called Murderous Minors, and I think it was on that, like, at the police station, his mom said, like, both of my sons died today. Ugh. Like, she was like, abso-fucking-lutely not. Now, later, eventually started supporting Andrew some, but, like, at that time, she was, like, done.
I don't know.
I think, you know, I've always, like, joked with my nephews and stuff. Well, and now my niece, too, because she's kind of old enough to understand, but, like, literally, there's nothing you can't, like, you can do to make me stop loving you. And then I always joke, like, unless you kill my mom, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, truly, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, no. Just think how creepy it is when you hear something about someone you know, and you're like, I didn't know they were capable of that.
Yeah.
But yet you watched a movie with him, you watched football with him, everything mm-hmm. was fine. How could he do that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I would be like, I don't even know you.
When they called his parents and they came to the police station with his parents and everything, he agreed to be questioned and they, like, waived the rights for an attorney. And he admitted to killing Connor. He said that he was sick and needed help.
But he also said that they were wrestling and stuff.
Right. But he said he felt horrible and he wanted to stop, but he just couldn't. He did say, like, it wasn't because he was angry for having to watch his brother, but Andrew was having some difficulty with mental health. There had been two occasions recently where he had tried to die by suicide, and he had felt like there was something wrong with him, like, since 7th and 8th grade, and that he had often thought of taking a knife and cutting someone's throat or just beating them to death with his hands.
Like, did he tell his parents about this?
So, okay, kind of. I don't know the depth of that. But he was a senior in high school, but he had, like, by all accounts, he was this great student. And then he did have a significant decline in his mental health. And then after this suicide attempt, he had dropped out of school. Like, I think they had pulled him out of school and they were trying to get him some help for everything he was going through. Andrew gets an attorney, he pleads not guilty, and they're trying to fight it from the mental health aspect. So they had all this kind of started to line up with, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists seeing him, interviewing him, because they were going to try to do an insanity defense, but came down to the wire, and Andrew actually pleaded guilty without a plea agreement. And so they didn't have to do a trial, but they did have to do a sentencing hearing, which was 5 days. So at the sentencing hearing is where they brought in a lot of these specialists, like and his girlfriend testified at this part to be like, this is how he acted. You know, she gave me a ring. We watched a movie. He was one of the happiest I've seen him in a while. You know, She did testify that he did argue with his parents a lot and that he had attempted to die by suicide. And then his parents testified and they said, like, he was a good student. Like, I don't know what. But his mom said that she didn't really believe that he had tried to die by suicide. She said that he dropped out of school to join the military. So I don't know. There's a lot of, I feel like, he said, she said. There's some mm-hmm. stuff like alluding to maybe some sexual abuse from a previous stepdad.
Oh, fuck.
That at first Andrew denied, but then like later said it happened. Like one of his friends said it happened and he denied it. And then later was like, yeah, but I don't know how much of that is because it was later when he's trying to get like post-conviction relief stuff. I don't know. But some of the psychiatrists and psychologists said he had borderline personality disorder, major depressive disorder. They said that he does have a psychopathic personality. So, I mean, he's got a lot going on. He has a history of self-harm, you know, and that his mental health was declining in the months kind of leading up to this. But eventually, though, I mean, they were like, it doesn't matter. Like, he did this. And even the professionals were like, yes, he has all of this, but we don't believe he's criminally insane. Like, he knew what he was doing was wrong. So, yes, while he has all this, yes, he has this history of potential sexual abuse, allegedly. He does have this history of, you know, self-harm and trying to die by suicide, all of that. Like, while he has all of this, it doesn't mean that he didn't know right from wrong.
Yeah. Well, again, it wasn't like they were wrestling. He did that and then was like,
panicked,
gonna do it. And did that, panicked, and didn't do any of the other stuff.
Right. No, no, no.
But all of that stuff, come on.
Right. So Andrew got sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, it came up a few times that he tried to, like, get re-sentenced, like, taking appeals, blah, 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 blah. There was a lot of chatter about how Andrew said, like, his favorite show was Dexter, and that he, like, you remember how on Dexter, what's-his-face, had, like, the Dark Rider? That is the person inside of him, as he called his Dark Rider, that he basically said he had that. And he said that his urge to kill was that, like, he equated it to that of a starving person craving a hamburger.
What?
And he was on, I couldn't find it, but it was like a show on E! About like teenagers who kill or killer teenagers or something like that. And I couldn't find where to watch it, so I never saw it, but he seems like he kind of backpedaled a little bit on that show with some of his like aggressive stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he tried to do appeal based on inadequate representation and his age, saying that because he was like 17 and a half when it happened. So he's like 6 months away from being 18. But they're saying because he was underage, he shouldn't have gotten life without parole because, you know, Supreme Court is unconstitutional, blah, 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 blah. And they're like, okay, cool, yeah, I hear you, but we can also do it on a case-by-case basis, and he deserves life. And so it seems like all of that has been upheld. And there was one pretty recent that was like 2022, I think. There was like another appeal thing. But currently, if you look at like the Indiana inmate stuff, like he's listed at Pendleton Correction Facility. Like he's there. It says life. He ain't getting out. Like his release date is all zeros. So,
shit.
I mean, as of right now, he's still there.
Wow. Again, murder, I can't even fathom that. But like to kill your own sibling and like just your younger sibling at that.
I can't imagine.
No. No.
Like that would be like, okay, put it in like my family terms. That would be like my nephew Peyton killing my nephew Cole. Because they're 17 and 10.
Yeah.
Could you fucking imagine?
No.
And again, for what? Like, there's literally, I mean, is it truly because he just wanted to go hang out with his girlfriend? I don't know. Maybe it's not that simple. But, because also, like, why then? Why that night did he decide?
But like you said, with the ring, like, he might have just, like, wanted to do it and been like, no, I want to do this. I have to do this. And that's how he chose to do that. But like I'm saying, he could have just been like, I'm going to
so-and-so's house. Don't leave a 10-year-old by themselves, because there was also that woman recently, like last week. I can't remember where she's from. I'm so good at stories. She just got arrested because her 10-year-old walked to the store by themselves. And it was like a mile away. And she got arrested for like negligence. And they're like, if you will just sign this saying that you basically won't do it again and you'll go to like parenting classes, like we'll drop everything. And she's like, I'm not fucking doing that. I didn't do anything wrong. So like, no, don't leave a 10-year-old by themselves. But also like in the grand scheme of things of him getting in trouble for leaving his 10-year-old brother by himself versus like fucking killing him, leave him by himself.
Right.
Again, don't leave a 10-year-old by themselves, but better that than fucking killing him.
Right. Like,
put the green mile on for him and then go.
Right. For sure. But I just, like, the overkill that he did, I can't imagine.
And just the this isn't the right word, it's the only word I can think of, but the intimacy of the strangulation and the chokehold and all that, and then to spend that long strangling him.
Yes.
And it's like, by all the accounts I saw too, like, Andrew was a pretty typical kid in that, like, he had a girlfriend, he had a lot of friends, you know, he wasn't, you know, what you think of when you think of, like, these kids that murder are usually, quote unquote, an outcast, that kind of thing. Like, this wasn't that kid. Like, he wasn't, this wasn't him. Yes, he was in a downward spiral. I just don't know. Like, but just, again, murdering your brother. I cannot wrap my head around that.
The fact that he put him in the trunk of the car, went to the girlfriend's house, watched the fucking longest movie ever, and, like, gave her a promise ring, did all of that, and it's just like, wait, what?
And the poor parents, too, being like, no, we literally just hung out with him thinking Connor was at the grandparents' house.
Right.
And he wasn't. He,
like,
was
living his best life, yeah, getting all the stuff that you get at grandparents' house.
Yeah, and he was by himself in the woods.
Ugh.
And there was something about, he said, Andrew said, he didn't bury him. He buried him, like, in his version, but he, when he did it, he told him he was going to get justice.
What?
It's so bizarre. And, but then just to be like, just go in and turn yourself in. Like, I don't get it. I don't get this.
Me either.
But then again, it seems like he talked a lot about how he wanted to kill more. And so it was like, kind of like, stop me before I do more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ugh, this is gut-wrenching. 10 is so young.
So young. Well, and that was part of, like, the mitigating factors when they were looking at the appeal stuff of, should he get a lesser sentence? And one of the mitigating factors was it was a victim under the age of 12. And that's part of why it was like, no, man, you're staying there.
Yeah. Every time you go last, you do, like, the hardest ones.
I know. And this one, like, there wasn't a ton to it, but it's like, God damn, it's a rough one.
It is, yeah.
But in Susan's email, she told us to check it out, and she was saying that, like, it shook the area, and it was just so sad how, you know, it just impacted everyone.
Because they're both young.
I know.
You know, in the grand scheme of things, 17 is young, but still, I would say, like, no, he deserves life in prison.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? But, like, 17 and 10, like, they had so much life ahead of them.
Yep. So not our longest episode, but a doozy nonetheless.
Well, we've had some long episodes
lately. We have. Y'all are like, I'm tired of hearing y'all talk.
But well, we're tired of hearing us talk.
But for real, thank y'all for the recommendations. Keep them coming, because y'all never cease to come in clutch with some, like, obscure thing that I would have never found on mm-hmm. my own. Like this story. So thank y'all so much for sending in recommendations. You can send them in the email at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. In the Facebook group, there's like a pinned discussion that you can comment on.
Yeah, it's like a suggestion box.
Yeah. So, you know, however, for me and Donna, suggestions. Let us know what y'all think about Donna's case. Were they in the Matrix? Or did they just not understand what was going on?
I mean, could have, like, literally, I'm like, is that my life? Like, is this something weird, or do I just not understand?
The latter. Thank y'all so much for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe, review, all the things, and remember,
creep it real,
and don't get scared.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy.
Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.